Welcome to the healing power of your dreams on UK Health Radio with your dream divas, Teresa Chung
and Kelly Sullivan Walden. Each week, along with our recurring dream guest presenters and special guests, we'll explore the healing potential of your intuition by day and your dreams by night.
So join us
live each week
and let's discover the unexpected together.
Deep in your heart.
He got family hair on my head. Well, she got family down in the sand. Yeah. He was sweet, just under 10.
Well, she was good with the one on the inside.
Summer heat.
Turn colder, that's where the dream ends.
So I told her we'd still be friends.
Then we made our true love vows.
Wow, I wonder what the hell she's doing now.
Psychic dreams ripped at the seams.
But the psychic dreams.
Tell me more, tell me more. Did your third eye ignite?
Tell me more, tell me more. Will you sleep singing at night?
Shoo papa, shoo papa, shoo papa. Yes! Okay, welcome everyone.
Cut it. And cut.
Now,
that was
that
perfect, Teresa.
Show opening and Kelly's pre-show hula hoop video, which if you haven't seen it on Insta, go check it out. Didn't already send you into an altered state of consciousness? We promise our upcoming show probably will.
Oh my goodness. I feel like our singing, you know, I did always want to be a singer when I was a young girl, but it turns out I have no sense of key or pitch. So if you put auto-tune on me, I'm really good. But I think we exist in a very special category between lucid dreaming and a nightmare and supernatural warning signals. I don't know. I think laughter, though, is good because a lot of spiritual folks, we take ourselves very seriously and that's not good. So, yeah, we gotta play a little.
Terrible singing and laughter first.
That's one way to do it.
Meaning and insight second. Exactly.
There you go.
I actually, though, my singing is becoming quite legendary, Kelly.
Yes,
you know, you have to keep up with me. I was invited
you're
on
so good.
Coast AM over the weekend to do
yes,
2 hours of dream decoding. They get listeners calling in. And, you know, most of the people actually wanted me to sing my dream interpretations to them.
You
indeed, the offers are flooding in, Kelly. We
Teresa.
Are going to reach crisis point as a show. Do the Dream Divas launch their own album? I'm thinking Grammys, James Bond movie themes. Sky's the limit, really. And
what?
We just lovingly destroyed Summer Night. Summer Night. Today feels like the perfect moment to talk about summer dreams because this time of year actually can affect dream recall quite dramatically. Dr. Dream, come in and share.
Well, it's because most of us, it's a little bit warmer and we're waking up. The sunrise happens earlier and we have more interrupted REM sleep, which means people more often wake out of their sleeping with a remembered dream. And they have a little bit more time on their hands to be able to write those dreams down as well.
So if you're listening and you've recently found yourself waking up with vivid dream recall on your mind, thinking, wow, where did that come from? You are not alone. Summer dreams often do feel more emotionally intense somehow, more cinematic, more symbolic, more crazy, almost as though the boundary between waking and dreaming has eased slightly into the warm night air.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
welcome.
So
I'm Teresa. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I think it's about time we introduce ourselves. If somebody's listening for the first time, yeah, you're in the right place or maybe the wrong place. I'm Kelly Sullivan Walden, and we are your Dream Divas. And this is the show where we explore the mystery, the psychology, the symbolism, the spirituality, and the occasional complete absurdity of dreams. And today's episode is all about psychic dreams, those uncanny dreams that seem to know something before we consciously do. So you spend the entire next day wondering whether your subconscious has secretly developed psychic powers while you were asleep.
Or whether your dreaming mind is simply more intuitive and perceptive than your waking mind allows. Because dreams, don't they, Kelly? They bypass the logical filter in waking life. We analyze, we dismiss, we rationalize when we're awake and second guess ourselves constantly. But when we fall asleep, the deeper emotional, intuitive mind finally gets uninterrupted airtime. And
It's kind
sometimes
of like me when I finally get time, my own time to
Kelly, you
speak,
get a lot
Teresa.
of
I'm the
air time on this
subconscious, you're the
show.
conscious.
You get like a dream slash nightmare. You get a lot of air time. You often speak in shocking metaphors.
Thank you. I
And talking of
appreciate
shocking
that.
metaphors, La Luna, she asked us about tsunami dreams. Quickly, do a quick dream
Oh, yes, let's get
you
to our
promised though you
listeners' dream.
would.
Okay, all right, so let's
Tsunami.
see. All right,
Tsunami, just the symbol of a tsunami dream. Do you
Oh, the
remember?
tsunami. Oh,
Yeah,
yes. Somebody
quickly.
said, I thought it was somebody's name. Yes. If it were my dream, if I dreamt of a
No,
tsunami,
it
which
wasn't
I
your
have,
dream. It was a listener dream, Kelly.
if it were, it's one of the ways that I like to say it. So I'm not taking anybody's power away from them. I'm saying, if it were mine, I would imagine that anything having to do with water is about the feminine energies. It's about the emotions. It's about the ocean and the emotion in the ocean. So if it's a tsunami, maybe I've had a lot of pent up emotion and what is suppressed must express. So it's telling me to find in my waking life a place to express. Sometimes these are precognitive and that's pretty scary, but more often than not, or at least half the time, our dreams are symbolic. What do you think, Teresa?
Absolutely, La Luna. And I want you to know not to fear this dream, but what it does suggest to me, there's going to be a before and an after. Very soon in coming days, you're going to have a change of opinion and view areas of your life in a different way. And don't fear this change. Change is good. You're moving forward, but it's a kind of a after tsunami, nothing is the same again in your life. And it could be just a mindset change or a way you talk to yourself. So make sure moving forward that how you talk to yourself is relentlessly positive, like Kelly and I
Exactly. I love myself. I love myself. And gosh darn it, people like me. Okay.
Today's episode is especially exciting because we're joined by a couple of members of our dream team. Phil and Amy, who are here with us, plus two visionary psychologists who never reduce dreams to being random and who acknowledge in their work that some dreams do feel as though they carry information we shouldn't logically know yet.
Yep. And I think we're going to get to our guests, right, Teresa? Because I know we've got so
We have got to
much
press on,
going
but haven't
on.
we got a listener dream? We have got a listener
Oh, we
dream.
do. Oh, okay. I thought we were going to skip that one
Peter's
because you did
dream.
the
We must
tsunami.
really quickly decode
Okay.
Peter's
All right. All
dream.
right. Here's Peter's
Do you want to
dream.
go to
Holy
Peter's
Lord.
dream?
Sure. Let's do Peter's
And
dream.
you're going to read it, Kelly.
If we
As
have
I
time,
said,
I
I
will do
bow to
Peter's dream.
your dream reading. They are absolutely works of art, poetry.
Thank you. I appreciate
Okay.
it. I'm
Just
taking them
go to
in.
that
Okay.
calm, still place before you read this
Dear
dream.
Dream Divas, a few nights before hearing from an old friend I hadn't spoken to in years, I dreamed I was wandering through a huge old hotel late at night, desperately trying to find a bathroom. Every bathroom I entered was flooded, water poured under the doors, and the mirrors were steamed up so heavily I couldn't see my reflection. Then I heard someone knocking softly from inside one of the locked bathroom stalls. When I opened it, my old friend was sitting there, fully dressed, beside an overflowing sink. He looked exhausted and pale and said, "I nearly drowned in all of this." Then the lights flickered and all the water suddenly drained away. Before I woke up, he looked directly at me and said, "Thank you for hearing me." 3 days later, he contacted me after years of silence. This is in waking reality. And he revealed that he'd been going through a devastating divorce, severe depression, and had come frighteningly close to ending his life.
Oh, extraordinary, Peter. Thank you for sharing this dream. It sounds potentially precognitive, but psychologically, the symbolism is incredibly coherent and vivid here, isn't it? But
Oh, yeah.
emotionally, it also carries the unmistakable psychic quality. It feels less like Peter invented the dream and more like he emotionally tuned into something real happening in his waking life at the same
Absolutely.
time in his friend's waking life. And
I think when
bathrooms, Kelly, let's talk about bathroom dreams because they're trending on TikTok, aren't they?
they are trending. I think it because we all have so much to release right now. Bathroom dreams are such an efficient way to do that. It's funny, when I was writing my first oracle deck, the Dream Oracle deck, shameless plug, right before we went to print, I was about to delete the bathroom card from the deck because I thought anybody that pulls this card is going to be really bummed that they pulled this card. So I wanted people to feel good when they pulled any card. But literally, the day of the printing, three people came to me with these tremendous bathroom dreams. And the work we did around those dreams was so profound that I thought we have to keep the bathroom card in the deck. And it's become one of the most talked about cards in that deck because going to the bathroom in a dream, I'll just channel my boyfriend, Carl Jung. He would say, sorry, this might gross people out, but the bigger the poo, the bigger the release and the bigger the abundance that may be coming in. So if you have a lot of shit going on in your dream and it's a mess, know that you're getting something out and that's good. And maybe you need a little bit of privacy to do it.
Yeah,
Maybe
it's
don't do it
that
on social
letting
media.
go of mindsets that no longer serve you. I mean, that song, Let It Go, will have a whole new meaning after this show. You may not
So
be listening
true. That's
to it, but it's, most of our problems in life are clinging to mindsets that no longer serve us. Exactly. There's also a bit of telepathy in the dream, I feel. There's the locked
Oh,
stall
yeah.
symbol, which is hidden suffering, private pain, emotional isolation. And his friend, he's somehow sensing in the dream state that his friend is shutting himself away while silently struggling. He's picking up on that.
It's so true. You know, my sister and I, this is how I got into dream work, is from doing tandem dreams, from being in each other's dreams or being so connected to each other psychically in dreams. So I think Peter's doing this with this friend. And one of the I met a tattoo artist in Mexico who was the sweetest guy, kindest person. He had all only negative dreams about the people he loved. And I said, you are like the beautiful laundry machine of your community. You are so kind and you've done all your work. So you're doing the psychic work for the other people around you that don't know how, that don't have the wherewithal. And maybe that's got to stop. But anyway, back to you, Teresa.
There's so much, Peter. We must connect about this outside this show. I could talk to you forever about that. The ending fascinates me because not only have you picked up something about your friend, the flooded bathroom in your dream drains
Oh, yeah.
completely dry, almost as though the emotional pressure finally releases when someone else taps into it, sharing this burden. Empathy is a real superpower. Sometimes just listening to people and being there for them, even if you can't do anything, is enough. And understanding and saying, I feel you, I hear you, I see you.
It's
Whether we
so
call this
true.
intuition, empathetic dreaming, subconscious perception, or psychic connection, experiences like this remind us that dreams may allow us to access to forms of awareness we don't fully understand yet. And that's why these conversations matter so much, Kelly. Dreams remind us we are emotionally connected in ways waking life often makes us forget.
It's so true. And we don't always have to fix each other's problems, which is typically it's a very masculine thing to do, but I'm a fixer. I like to fix things, but I have to always be reminded sometimes you just simply have to bear witness. So somebody feels validated in what they're struggling with. And there is magic in that. And speaking of magic,
We've
I
got our
know,
two guests. We're bearing witness
yeah.
to our two guests coming up, which we can't wait to meet. So stay with us for more deep dream talk. And if your
Oh.
dreams have been unusually vivid these warm summer nights, hold that
Hold that
psychic
psychic
dream.
dream. We'll see you on the other side.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Wake up, dreamers. We're back. And we are absolutely delighted, beyond delighted, to welcome our first dream guest. This is the coolest chick. I love her. So excited. Maja Deu. And I hope I'm saying that right with my Canadian French accent. Maja is a practicing witch, a scholar of alchemy and occult lore. She's been reading tarot professionally for more than 20 years. After earning a bachelor's degree in biochemistry, this girl is smart. She's earned a master's degree in transformational psychology with a focus on shamanism, the I Ching, and ancestor work. She's also the author of Familiars in Witchcraft, The Occult I Ching, Astrology of the Shadow Self, and the creator of the White Witch Tarot.
Maja, welcome to Psychic Dreams, this episode of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. We are thrilled you're here because your work sits right at that fascinating crossroads between psychology, intuition, symbolism, and mystical traditions, which of course is exactly where psychic dreams seem to live as well. And one of the things I love about your work is the way you explore symbolism through both psychology and occult wisdom. So I'd love to begin by asking, when people experience dreams that feel psychic or prophetic, do you think they are tapping into something supernormal, or are dreams revealing intuitive information the conscious mind simply hasn't picked up on yet?
Dream nerds, dream nerds. Hi. Thanks for having me. We're going to get really
nerdy. Wait a second. I think we love her. Oh, God. Right out of the gate. Done. That's it. You're hired.
Go.
Next. Move on.
Don't feed Kelly's ego, please. Really. Please.
Well, you know, we are like bobbleheads. Our heads get kind of big and they bobble around, but it's even more funny, I feel like, you know. Ego, I love egos. I love egos. They're my favorite thing. They're cute and funny and weird little shrimpy guys, you know, that you can kind of make fun of. So it's fun. To answer your question, I'm a little weird. So my opinions are, and experiences are going to be a little different than everyone else's. But for prophetic dreams, right? For prophetic dreams, I've had a lot of them. Even seeing danger, like, you know, people committing suicide, a little bit like that person shared, you know, to deaths impending, with my grandmother telling me that my aunt had passed away the night that she passed away, and all kinds of things. So I view prophetic dreams, which is not to say I think all dreams are prophetic, because they're not. Some are just, you know, like going to the bathroom, like regular maintenance. But then we get other ones that are interdimensional traveling. And prophecy, where we can see through time and space because we're in another dimension in our consciousness. So we go in like weird little spaceships when we dream, and we can travel all kinds of places, a little bit like astral travel, right? So when we have a prophetic dream, it's hard to say if it's like a warning, like, why is it so personal? Like, why do we get prophetic dreams about ourselves, but then other people will have them about larger scales, like the country or humanity, right? So you can go a lot of levels, and people have written them down, right? Like Nostradamus or other people like that. So it's a pretty wide territory, and I feel like that just means there's a lot to explore.
Ooh. So one of the things I teased in my little Instagram hula hooping video, I went crazy, was that we might learn on this show, maybe from you, how to have more psychic dreams, how to be, because I think most of us, we at least we say we want to be more psychic. Do we really want that responsibility? Probably not. Otherwise, we'd already be there. But let's say we believe people when they say, I want more psychic dreams. Why does she have so many of them? I want some for myself. Is there something you could say to those people that are wanting to have more psychic dreams?
Yes, there's very easy techniques, some simple ways. I'll share several of them with you right now. But also, it's funny because getting more psychic is a nightmare. Like,
yeah, it's like exactly. Yeah.
It's we handle thing. Kelly well.
Right?
Like, good news, bad news.
Know, right? You want to just scrub your brain of some things, right? Like some things you see, can't unsee. So ignorance truly is bliss, but I'm here to grow, right? So I'm like, give me more. I'm a glutton for it, right? So an easy way, basically to get psychic dreams, I view in my practices and my teacher, Kelvin DeWolf, we want to unite the unconscious and the conscious mind. And as we do, humans are going to evolve. As we get the subconscious or unconscious, not only of ourselves, but of the planet. Remember, the planet goes into night. The planet goes into nighttime. That's why we sleep. We're sleeping. We're under the influence of the earth, who's also dreaming. So whose dreams are they? Yours or the whole earth?
Oh, that's good. Wait a second. I need a moment on that. Whose dreams are we having?
It's nighttime.
Who's dreaming who?
You're compelled and pulled under. One of the things I did in my training, which don't try this at home, kids. I did a lot of training. You stay up and you try to resist sleep. And what I found was if you stay awake for a lot of days, I couldn't match Kelvin. He stayed up way too long, but he's gnarly. But if you stay up, you start dreaming while you're awake. You don't have to sleep to dream, and you break through that barrier of night, of darkness and shade. So you're trying to bring darkness and light together. You're doing oppositional alchemy. So to get more psychic dreams, an easy way to get lucid dreams, this works 100%. Throughout the day, look at your hand and say, this is all a dream. And do it every day for like 2 months. You're going to start lucid dreaming, right? This is an easy technique. It's not my technique. It's a very common one. You can do it on YouTube, right? Another technique you can look up is called dream yoga by the Tibetans have developed it. They do dream yoga to prepare for death. So it's like, if you can be conscious and aware in your dream, that's how you can have a conscious death and pass through the realms without losing yourself. So you can stay intact and integral as a consciousness without your bubble popping when you die. There's really good books on dream yoga from the Tibetans. They've been at this for a minute, folks. So like, you know, there's a lot of options to do, but those are two very simple ones. And then I have my new tarot deck, which is called the Shadow Seer. And I'm trying to help people do shadow work. Ooh. So shadow work will also help you have psychic dreams.
And I guess that's available wherever you buy books and cards.
Everywhere. Yeah.
And went and just published. Great. So it's hot off the press. How exciting. We're honored that you're here. And it got me thinking, Kelly, when we do a deeper dive into lucid dreaming, we'd love to have you back.
Yes.
Oh, please. Yeah. I would love
more,
to.
More technique. Thanks. Please stay with us. Thank you. And where can people find out about you if they want to contact you?
Witchofthedawn.com.
Oh, witchofthedawn.com. Beautiful.
And it rhymes and it's so symbolic.
You're witch of the dream, Kelly.
Witch of the dream. I'm witch of the dream. You're witch of the nightmare.
And, no. Anyway, before we start arguing,
I'm bad Sandy. You're good Sandy. Okay, we love you, Maja. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for jumping on. This has been so deep and rich.
Kelly, if I can get a word in edgeways, please. Our show does try and mirror in its format how a dream is like, and a dream is constantly shifting. So we're going to shift now. We're going to widen the conversation, if that's possible, because I think you widened it so amazingly, and bring in two voices in psychology, visionary voices in psychology. Kelly, do you want to do some introductions?
Oh, well, why not? Let's do it. Amanda Charles, the psychic psychologist, is an award-winning chartered counseling psychologist, psychic medium, shamanic practitioner, and number one best-selling Hay House author whose work bridges two worlds most of us are taught to keep apart, like we were just talking about, the rigor of clinical science and the wisdom of the intuitive realms. Founder of quantum self-psychology, she draws on 26 years of clinical practice and her own recovery. I love that she puts that in there, from profound loss and chronic illness, bringing science and soul together in a multi-dimensional approach that shows people that they too have the power within to help heal themselves.
And that's what dream work's all about, isn't it, Kelly? Inside
Yes, it
out
is.
healing. In is the only way out. And we brought in our very own, we are so honored to have our very own guest presenter, who just happens to be an amazing clinical psychologist and a pioneering spiritual psychologist, host of the amazing podcast Life, Death, and the Space Between, Dr. Abi Robbins. Because we thought psychologist to psychologist, this would be really interesting. We know our limits. Well, Kelly doesn't, but I do.
I
So
do
we're
not
going to
know my
take a step
limits.
back now, and
No,
we're
and
going to
she's
have a
also a pink
real
lady.
meeting of visionary minds here, working with psychology. Over to you, Amy. Kelly,
Thanks.
go on mute, please.
Thanks, pink ladies. Never. She's really shutting
Amy.
you up today, isn't Take it
she,
away.
Kelly? She's
Take it
shutting you
away. She
down.
can try. She can
Mute her.
try. She can try. Go for it, Amy.
Well, I love this conversation because this is really at the heart of everything that I am trying to bring to the forefront, specifically for psychologists on this side of the pond. I know you're on the other side of the pond doing this work so incredibly. But how do these two, that you call yourself the psychic psychologist, those two things really run counter to each other in the psychological space. The psychology is supposed to be you bring in yourself and we do the deep work so you can know yourself more deeply. But with the psychic piece, how does that change the work in terms of what you're bringing in that you already might know about the person or what you might be intuiting?
First of all, I'm so excited to be here to see you all. Everyone's got such exciting things to say. And Amy, I love that you're also doing the work over there. I hadn't actually come into contact with you, so I'd
Oh,
love to
watch
chat to you
out. Watch
after
out.
it.
Teresa knows
Exciting.
how I roll.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, when I first came out, and it was a coming out as the psychic psychologist, it very much, like you say, it felt like professional suicide because we aren't taught the science behind a lot of these experiences, and there is so much out there. And it was actually from when I started looking into the science that I realized this information needs to be out there with the general public. And so I started to bring them all together. I obviously got my deal with Hay House, and I was going to have to come out as the psychic psychologist. I originally got the website, the trademark, etc., but I didn't put my name to it in the beginning because I was too nervous as to what it would do. But actually, the converse happened when my book came out. The director of Pezzi UK and Pezzi Incorporated in the US had read my book and got me training other psychologists. So actually, it's starting to broaden. So I'm bringing in everything on all the levels of the self. So I am psychic, and I have been psychic since I was a very young child. And it was the bringing together of that that allowed me to heal myself from a pituitary tumor. And it was basically when I had lots of deaths that I was just like, right, this has to come out into the world.
So, what exactly does this end up looking like when someone comes into your office? Like, are they coming to you because they're like, oh, I want a psychic reading? Or are they coming to you because they want to know themselves more deeply? Can you separate the two, or are they all kind of one and the same here?
Yeah, so I don't think you can separate anything, any of it, because we're multidimensional, right? So obviously, as a psychologist, we're taught to be kind of a blank slate from which our clients are project onto. But I talk about the connected clinician, whereby actually we're bringing in everything on an energetic level into the room, as well as what's happening on a physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual level. So, you might come to see me. I can do psychic readings and mediumship, but I choose not to do them with particular clients. What I actually look at is the whole person. And so you might be talking to me and I might have an awareness of something that's going on in your subconscious, but I will work with you to gain access to that yourself. So I'm more about empowering you to connect in with yourself on all those levels than effectively disempowering you by giving you a reading, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's the most brilliant way to integrate these two pieces. And I know we were talking earlier about dreams and how our psychic senses often start, and people aren't even aware of it in their dreams, right? Like this might be the first way people begin to know themselves more deeply, to see the shadow side of themselves, to really start to open up these psychic senses. But what if that's not what they're coming to you for? Like, what if they're like, oh, I don't want to know more about this, or I don't want to see these things. Like Maja was talking about earlier, like be careful what you wish for, right? You could open up, and it can be really scary and dangerous for people at times because they start to see things, know things that might be more than they're ready for.
Absolutely. And that's why it's important to be able to feel free enough to express ourselves, right? Because a lot of this does come through our dreams if we're not able to speak it in our living world, right? So it will keep repeating. I had a precognitive dream that would be repeat on a loop, like a hula hoop, Kelly, when I was pregnant with my youngest daughter, because I'd had lots of deaths. And this dream would be there would be a midwife that would walk in. It would be the moment I would give birth. I'd never seen the midwife before, saw her name. And it would be that moment that one of us would die. It would be me or my daughter. And during the pregnancy, I'd lost my mum, my brother-in-law, sister-in-law, my dad's best friend. There were a whole load of deaths. So the psychologist would say, well, of course, you've had a lot of trauma that's going to be working through within the dreams. However, the psychic who had had precognitive dreams all her life that were very vivid, and this was the same, would basically say, ah, okay, well, this is actually something in your future that could happen. At the day I was to give birth, in walked Kate Wolger, who had been on the tag, and I was like, oh my goodness, like this is it. This is the moment when one of us dies. And it was the moment when I was to push, and there was no sound. So it was exactly as the dream was. She was in exactly the same position. But what I would like to say is actually because I had an awareness of the precognitive dreams before, so you could get the fear from that and be immersed in that. I'd actually been working on extending out my timeline. I'd been working in the physical because I couldn't work the lucid dreaming out at that point, because you can go into a dream, can't you, with lucid dreaming and change the work through the dream in the dream. So I was working with the dream in the conscious world, looking at the timeline and consciously constructing a timeline where we both survived that death. And actually, we did both survive. Now, you can't know for sure whether it was the timeline work, but I'd already healed myself from a pituitary tumor and infertility previously and used exactly the same technique. And so I was able to extend past what the dream was telling me. And for sure, that dream was a precognitive dream that would have potentially come true. That's my opinion.
Wow. So you're real. Oh, there,
Oh, I know
Cal.
we're about to go to a break in a couple of minutes, but I just wanted
Yeah.
to jump in and just say this is one of the things I love your story, and I'm so grateful because I don't think our nightmares, our recurring nightmares, are meant to just torture us. They're trying to help us
Help
work
us
something out.
heal.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Amanda, Amy, Hank, stay there. After the other side of the break, Amanda, share your details, please. So hold that psychic dream,
Hold
everyone.
that
They
dream,
do mean a
everyone.
thing.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach. Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, dreamers. And now we're turning to something near and dear to my heart, something equally mysterious and beautiful, shared dreaming.
Dreaming. But before that, Amanda, please, could you just share how people can get in contact with you? And I said, we must speak to you again. There's never enough time. Just like in a dream, you always feel like you're racing to catch up. But please share where people can find out about you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I mean, I'm literally the psychic psychologist on everything. So the psychicpsychologist.com, the psychic psychologist on Instagram, you know, you name it. So pretty simple if you can spell it.
Thank you from my heart. And thank you, Amy, too. Do hang in there because we're now going into a shared dreaming session, aren't we, Kelly? Do you want to tell everyone what UK Health Radio team did yesterday?
Yeah, so the UK Health Radio Dream Team had an extraordinary shared dreaming experience, and I'm so jealous I wasn't physically there. Amy and I were there virtually, but not physically. And you had this experience at Oxford University, presenting at the Nature of Love and the Love of Nature Conference. So what was that like, Teresa?
It was honestly felt like a kind of waking dream. Phil, do you want to quickly jump in? Because I'm worried we're going to jump out of time. But it was conversation about consciousness, nature, dreams, unconditional love and connection. Basically, our stuff of life, really. It was the most inspiring settings, a bit like Hogwarts. We were also honored to be invited there by Dr. Stephen G. Post, a bioethicist and best-selling author who has long explored compassion and human connection. And we've got a short clip from Dr. Post to share now. And do check out over on my Instagram at the Teresa Chung, and you can see a few photos from the day and how overjoyed Johan, our producer, Phil, who's just going to jump in before we play the audio, and Margarita, who was also there, I were in that we went into an impromptu dance. If you want to have a laugh.
And Phil looks like Danny Zuko from
Greece.
Quickly,
you've got 10 seconds, quickly.
Yeah, it was just, I love that environment. It was so great to be able to talk about the sort of lead towards the esoteric among people that are educated and that are open-minded. You know, there was a load of doctors, philosophers, professors, and to be able to talk openly about some wacky experiences as I did myself, and to be heard in that environment was...
We feel our IQ's rising. We should have brought Kevin here. It would have really helped. Anyway,
yeah, over... would have. It so would have, but that's okay. It's okay. Next time you'll fly me over.
Go on, play it, Johan. Hello, everyone. We are here at Lineker College, Oxford. The UK Dream Team is here with the remarkable Dr. Stephen G. Post. And I'm just going to ask him to say hello to you all. And then we're going to bring in our US team on the phone. It's Tuesday, June the 2nd, 2026. And we are pinching ourselves that we're here, aren't we all? I'm just going to go around to Margarita. How do you feel?
I'm so excited to be here, Teresa. It's lovely. I feel like I'm living my Hogwarts fantasies with you here at Oxford today. Absolutely exciting and so happy to be here with Dr. Post.
Yeah, our guest presenter, Margarita Mitchell-Pollock, TV producer and journalist. And wasn't it wonderful? The train we came, the platform was nine, wasn't it? It was
nine and three quarters.
Yeah, nine and three quarters.
Yes. Magic about.
We're also here with our other guest presenter, actor and intuitive life coach, Phil, who's here with his beautiful partner, Laura. Do you two want to say hello before we move on?
Absolutely, yeah. Just again, echoing what Margarita just said, just very happy to be here.
And Laura?
Hi, everybody. Very lovely to be here as well.
Thank you. Laura's going to be documented so we can share something on socials. And of course, our CEO, the visionary founder and best-selling author, Johan Ilgenfritz.
Hello, everyone. Great to be here with all of you. Hi, Amy. Hi, Kelly. Just so grateful to be here and really looking forward to today. Looking forward to learning a lot today, actually. Thank you.
I'm going to hand it to Stephen now to explain what the event's about, why we're here. And then, Kelly and Amy, I hope you're armed with questions for Stephen.
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so welcome to Lineker College, to the Dream Team.
You're all wonderful people. I'm very excited to be here in this room with you. This is a wonderful college at Oxford next to the New Humanities Center. And we have convened through the Institute for Research on Unlimited Pure Love, a group of a dozen or so luminaries, half of them from the UK and half of them from the US, to meet together about the love of nature and the nature of love, which is an interesting title. It comes in part because there's a wonderful Buddhist monk named Matthieu Ricard, and he wrote a book on altruism and love. And in it, he talks about my work. And he said that, you know, I was so Western because I never talked about the love for nature. And I wanted to correct that. So this is an effort in that direction. And the book, Pure Unlimited Love, which, by the way, just won the Nautilus Prize.
I know. Amazing. Congratulations. Yeah. And well deserved. It's highly recommended, everyone listening on UK Health Radio. If you want to have a hug for your heart, please, please check it out.
Yeah, and the title I owe a lot to someone who's passed away now, Sir John Templeton, who was a wonderful philanthropist and a great mentor for me. And he died in 2008. And here's a story. As he was dying, he asked his son Jack, who was a trauma surgeon at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, to call me and ask me to do him a favor. So I got a phone call on my flip phone. We didn't have smartphones at the time. And I said, Jack, what's going on? He said, well, Dad is dying. And I said, is there anything I can do? And he said, well, come to think of it, yes. I said, what is it? He said, Dad is probably going to die in the next week or so, and he doesn't have time to write his final book. And he'd like you to write it for him. Oh, no. So you can imagine. And this is Sir John Templeton, you know. And I thought to myself, I don't know if I can do that. What do you think? He said, you can do it. So I said, maybe, but we need to have a title. Did he give you a title? The title was Unlimited Love is Ultimate Reality. And then I said to Jack, maybe you could go back to your dad's bed and ask him if you could put a question mark. It would take a little pressure off me. I could make plausible arguments, but didn't have to prove anything, knock down, drag out. So believe it or not, Jack came back a couple minutes later, breathlessly, and he said, yeah, Dad says it's okay. Is ultimate reality unlimited love with a question mark? So I wrote that book for the Templeton Foundation back in the day, and a lot of my work has always been on pure unlimited love because Sir John and I were so close, and we agreed so deeply on this idea as being central to the future of a salient species and human success and flourishing.
Here. And it's got a foreword by none other than the Dalai Lama, people. Wow. Now, that's if you're going to get a foreword and you're writing a spiritual book. Yeah. Okay, Kelly, do you have a question for Stephen? Yes.
Okay, hi, Kelly.
Dr. Dream.
Stephen. It's so great to be with you again. We got to interview you a few months back, but oh gosh, I'm just so moved that you are doing that. You've written this book and that you're speaking in a scholarly way about something that is unmeasurable ultimately. But what I was thinking about is what you're talking about is not teaching humans to be other than who they are, or to be different. You're really helping us to just come back to the core of who we were in the beginning before that first heartbreak. And I wonder if because I'm picturing this posture, I'm remembering getting punched when I was little by my sister and putting my arms in front of my face to block myself from the punch. And I imagine that I'm still walking through my life with my hands in front of my face to like, and is there data that says that we are actually more likely to be safe in this world if we are more unlimitedly, purely loving?
Yeah, there is a lot. Now, human love, I define, like most people more or less define it, when the security and the well-being of another is as real to you and sometimes more so as your own, you love that person. And then there are all these expressions of love that are more important to me than definitions, like carefrontation, Scott Peck's word.
Love that.
Compassion, creativity, listening. It goes on, and that's what the book really centers on. But for me, there's another kind of love in the universe, and it's not just definable in terms of human interrelations. I have a wonderful guy who chaired family medicine at Stony Brook Med School, and he worked with me for many years. He's just retired, Jeff Trilling. And I asked him, Jeff, what is pure unlimited love in your own mind? And he said, it was very thoughtful. He paused and he said, it's the first thing you see when you close your eyes for the last time, hopefully. That comma hopefully matters. So I love that because you can define human love. I mean, social scientists will give you X definitions and they're all roughly in the same ballpark, but none of them approximate what you would call this ultimate reality of love. And that's something that you have to experience. And you don't have to be near death to experience it. A lot of people have had these remarkable moments when somehow they felt invaded by something that was not of their own origin. It was pure consciousness, pure love, and suddenly they could overcome these adversarial emotions and they could embrace people in a way that they felt did not actually come from themselves. Although this higher consciousness is actually part of all of us. Yeah. And that's the thing to remember. But yeah, so I don't like to try to describe what I'll call pure unlimited love in terms of our everyday human experience.
Wow. Thank you, Stephen. You have got to come back on UK Health Radio because I know Kelly so well. She's got 100 questions and she's reining herself in.
1,000 more.
And,
exactly.
And as this is a shared waking dream today, a Midsummer Night's dream, really, isn't it? A Midsummer Day's dream. I'm going to give a shout out for one of our guest presenters who is missing, and she's a very important part of our team too. That's Alexandra Wilby, former deputy editor of Hello Magazine and now a sound healer, Reiki healer, and YouTube personality, Olympia Mind Body Spirit host. She couldn't be here today because of a family emergency, and that's the loving bond that she quite rightly prioritised. So sending you lots of love, Alex. And now to our other US Dream Team member, the wonderful Dr. Amy Robbins, clinical psychologist and host of Life, Death and the Space Between. Amy, have you got a question for Dr. Stephen G. Post?
Of course. I'm like Kelly. Do I have one question or a thousand?
You just get the one.
Just the one.
We're going to invite Stephen back. Don't worry, aren't we? We are.
So from the lens of clinical psychology, you know, I'm always thinking about when I'm working with my own clients, patients, and they can't recall a time they've ever felt love. Like they've never experienced love. They don't recall being unconditionally loved by their parents, by a teacher. They cannot access that. Where do you begin to step in and start to help them cultivate a feeling of self-love? And would nature be a way into that, as this is what your summit is about?
Well, yeah, and a lot of your clients have had adverse childhood experiences, as they call them. So they have a lot to overcome. And, you know, what happens to kids in their younger years isn't necessarily determinative. They can overcome things with help, but it can set them back. So I think that there are people around who are very hurt. And there's a little saying, which I think everyone in this room is familiar with, hurt people hurt people. And so what do you do with them? Well, they can overcome this void by developing relationships in life in the right kinds of communities. So that could be a spiritual community, it could be a community where there really is palpable love and concern for one another. And also, as Jerome Kagan wrote at Harvard, they can marry the right person. So that can help.
Wow.
If you marry somebody who turns out to be deeply understanding and loving and compassionate as need be, that can get you moving in the right direction. And I think that there are ways of overcoming that void, and they're quite plentiful. But for families, it's so important that families cultivate love as a culture. And we funded for several millions of dollars projects on how to raise kind children. And that's actually the fourth chapter of this book, Pure Unlimited Love. And it turns out that if you have in your home just a small cardboard that lists five or six values that you and your kids all agree to, kindness, forgiveness, whatever it might be, and you write them down and you tack them onto the refrigerator door, then when there's a difficult moment in the family, instead of somebody screaming and shouting, you convene your family around that statement and you ask everybody to kind of chime into it. And so how did that measure up with this statement that we have here? That can be very effective. And one reason I say it is because I had a great friend named Sam Oliner, who wrote the first book in America, anyway, on altruism. And he was at the University of California. Sam had grown up in Nazi Germany. His whole family had been annihilated by the Nazis. And he was taken in by a Huguenot French Protestant family. They took care of him over the course of the war, knowing that if they were found out, they would have been annihilated too. But amazingly, he got through it. And then he got out of Germany. He went to the U.S. He went to California. And he did this beautiful study. He went back to Germany. And he interviewed all of the rescuers, because he wanted to know what made these people put themselves in harm's way to rescue a little Jewish kid. And it turns out that every one of these rescuers came from a family where somewhere in the living room or in the kitchen, they would have an image of compassionate love. It could be, say, Norman Rockwell's The Golden Rule, something iconic for us. But that's what they did, and then they would convene around it. So this idea became very central to my own thinking and to the thinking of some of the people that we were funding. So that, and also volunteering with your family members, but not just for people who have needs in the local vicinity and who are near and dear, just like you are, but do something a little bit bolder and go out to people who are different and sort of endorse a human, a common humanity. But there are things to try to do that can make a big difference. So, you know, whatever happened to your clients that was difficult, they can use that as a learning experience. And that's what I recommend.
Thank you, Amy. I'm going to jump in now and just give the last question to my wonderful co-host and of the Healing Power of Dreams, Dr. Dream Kelly. Can you ask Stephen to sum up? Because I'm conscious, I'm looking at the time. We've got about a minute.
Yes, so absolutely.
Take Stephen, it away, Kelly.
Thank you. I'm thinking about a song that a friend of mine wrote years ago called I'd Love You Unconditionally If... ... And basically it's a funny thing, because I think about how mostly people say, I would love people if they were worthy of it. Once people behave right, then I will love. And I mean, couldn't it just be that we love because it's our nature, and even if people like aren't exactly worthy of it, quote unquote, we do it for ourselves to love. And to allow that love to move through us. It doesn't hurt us to love more, even if it's like Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do. What if it's love them even if they know not what they do?
Stephen, last word to you, because I've got about 30 seconds.
It always benefits you to be a lover. There's no exception to that. And if you get caught up in the alternatives, those are destructive, negative emotions. like hostility, rumination. And every public health journal I've read says that, for example, males who are ruminating a lot tend to be more susceptible to chest infections. And it goes on. And so if you can get out of that space and move into a place of pure love and not be transactional about it, it's not, you know, tit for tat, but if you can move into that space and be free, you're going to live a longer, healthier, happier life. And that was my first book.
I'm going to have to jump in there because I'm just conscious of the radio slot, and this is a shared dream of UK Health Radio dream to. Yeah, I mean, it went on. We were there for several hours talking to luminaries. It was a shared love dream. And the reason we played this is because whether we're talking about psychic, emotional, symbolic dreams, connection is always at the heart of it. And what connects us is love. So before we close, we'd love our dream team here, the ones who haven't spoken yet, Phil, followed by Maya, and then Amanda and Amy, if there's time, to just sum up quickly what for them a shared dream is.
I think that what we're doing here is a shared dream. I feel that we're onto something, and it's such a privilege to get to talk to so many people in different areas of, and but all for the common good. And yeah, I mean, this is a dream for me. So I'll leave it at that.
Maya.
Everything is shared. There's no not shared. Everything is connected. There is no not shared.
Amy, Amanda.
I absolutely agree. It falls under what I call telepathy. So when we have an empathic, an emotional connection with another person, we can get empathic, telepathic information. And that falls under this too.
Beautiful. Amy.
To feel that each of us can feel the deep connection and oneness that exists between all of us.
Beautiful. And Kelly, we've got to end with Greece again, haven't we?
We Some have to
psychic
end with
dreams.
Greece.
We go together.
Like lama 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 digga digga dong.
Because we all dream and that connects us. Hold that psychic.
Hold that psychic dream. We'll see you next time. And until then, keep on dreaming. Mwah.